Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles with me, John 10:10. And I want to share with us some thoughts this week, and then I will conclude possibly next week. But I want to lay a foundation this morning. I won't be long. Because you need it. You really, really need it. And I title this Abundant Life. And so look, let me make my first point, which is critical. Every Christian, including me, we suffer and have problems for our identity. Every Christian. We forget, or sometimes, actually, not that we forget, we haven't known actually who we are. We all suffer it, problem of identity. And because we don't know who we are, in other words, because most of the time we forget our genetics. And so we identify ourselves by our successes and our failures. And of course, again, people identify us by our successes and our failure. And that is why a lot of us, human beings generally, not even believers alone, we struggle to attain in life. We struggle to be somebody. You know, in civil service, you struggle to become a permanent secretary because you think that is the highest you can become. I think I was talking to some people. I said, I never knew there was a post that was called permanent secretary when I joined civil service. I never planned to so do. As a matter of fact, I thought I'd be in civil service for 10 years until I met somebody that encouraged me, said, no, stay, and gave me some reason, which I'm not going to give you. You know, you want to become that. You want to reach the highest. You know, when I said to some people, I said, I never did exam of permanent secretary. I said, I don't want to be one. Where I'm harm now, I'm touching lives. And so I say, I'm fine. You know, and again, possibly because I understand some of this thought I'm going to share with you. You know, we want to have our own company. You want to become a CEO. You want to become, you know, a big person. Because we think that when I get it, that we create a niche for me. And we have an environment. It will create an ecosystem for me. You know, and so we struggle in life. You know, I want to make money. If I had money, then people will respect me. They are not respecting me now because I'm not rich. They are not respecting me now because I don't have a car. And society, again, make it worse. You know, because the society itself relates with us based on what we have and the things that we don't have. It is saddening that church ourselves relates with people as such. You know, again, because we've come to decipher, we've come to appreciate, love people, give them position, sometimes based on their certificates. Solomon tried all these things. He did all these when there was a void in his heart, when there was a yearning in his heart, when there was a need in his heart. You know, there's something that he wanted to feel. And I asked myself a question, after becoming a king, what is it that you're looking for? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a void in our souls that nothing in life can fill. That void is reserved for God alone. But the problem is because we don't know the person that should occupy that position, so we struggle. And in the process of struggling, as a matter of fact, a lot of us are walking away from purpose. A lot of us are walking away from true identity. You know, because we run to become something. Solomon did everything. He was a king, but he was never satisfied. He was a king, and he thought if I had more wives in control of many more women, he thought that the void would be filled. And so he gathered so many women. He wanted to be in charge. And he had 1,000 of them. And so at the end of the day, after I tried all of them, he said, this is vanity. And he thought again, if I can have property. And so he embarked on the drive of getting property. You know, he got houses everywhere. He built houses everywhere. He occupied everywhere, like some of our leaders are doing now. Some have bought a whole street to themselves. They brought a whole town unto themselves. You know, they think with that they have some level of security, or their life and their purpose will be defined, you know, by that. But at the end of the day, Solomon said, look, this again is vanity upon vanity. In fact, he added to it, he said, vanity upon vanity, and it's a vexation, you know, of the spirit. I'm talking about identity. You want to answer what is your name. I met people in life, you did not have their titles to their names, they are going to fight you. I was in a meeting, you know, in a particular office of a big man, and they introduced some people, and they didn't introduce some people. I should have just kept quiet, ladies and gentlemen. And I said, okay, let me introduce these two people because they came from my head family. And I said, please meet acting so-so-so, because actually they were acting. And it was an official gathering. And I said, acting so-so-so, and acting so-so-so. One of them just said, no, we are not acting. They've confirmed us. I said, I'm sorry. I said, so-so-so, and so-so-so. That is how people value, you know, earthly things. You know, the person thinks that that position actually defines him or her. That is the way we struggle in life. And, you know, we come to emptiness. We come to nothing because we are struggling from a position of lack of identity. And I think our problem actually comes from Romans. Before I read my text, let's see Romans chapter 6. Let me just be from there. Romans 6. And I want us to get this. As believers. Where is Romans now? Okay. Romans 6. It shouldn't be 6, it should be 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry about that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. See what the Bible says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye, having received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Now, listen, you stay there and get this, what I'm going to share with you. We have problem of identity, believers. Why? Because we're not the original owner of the promise. You know that the Jews of today, they are still reveling in who they are. If you met a Jew will relate with you like you are nobody. And that's why all over the world, you see the world now, Israel and Hamas. Even though Israel is doing, for me, they've gone overboard. They've been excessive. But there's no ally of Israel that is able to confront them. They asked U.S., they said, as we know that Israel is not listening to you again, he said, have they crossed the red line? U.S. said, no, they haven't crossed the red line. They are killing everybody, occupying everybody, and yet they haven't crossed the red line. Because they are recognized as a unique, a peculiar, a separated people of God. I understand that in Egypt today, they have a cause. Egypt is a Muslim country. They have a course, and in that course, where they are studying Israel. And that is why you find out that in all this world, even the people that don't like Israel, they did not put their mouths. They know who they are. Because the promise is originally meant for them. It was when they did not receive the promise, that is when we were grafted in. That is when we became, you know, the beneficiaries of the original promise of God. And that is why the Bible is saying here that we have been adopted. An adopted child is not a biological child. You get that. An adoption comes by law. There's a child, I want the child to become mine. And so we signed necessary papers and documents. It was Jesus, through his blood, that signed necessary papers and documents. And so we were brought in. And so we become adopted children of God. Because we've been adopted, a lot of us, we are still having a problem of identity. You know that when you come in, you sit on the table with the other children. You eat what the other children will eat. Imagine that you're a Muslim and you're adopted. You know that as a Muslim, you don't wear your shoe, enter the house. Have you noticed that about Muslims? You know, they will remove their shoe, you know, in front of the house. They come in bare-hearted because, again, that's how they enter a mosque. And so if you adopted a Muslim, you know that you still want to live that kind of life. And so when you come into the palace of the king, you come into the palace, you know, of the master, of your father, you still want to remove your shoe. You know, the other children say, no. We have cleaners. Don't worry. Even though your shoe is dirty, your shoe has gekumba. Don't worry. Just wear it in all the same. Because we are cleaners that we clean the house. You understand that? Now, probably where you're coming from, you just eat 001. And this one, at 6 a.m., you know, they've woken you up. And then there's a coffee. And there's a snack. That's just waking up. That's not breakfast yet. You know, it will be strange to you. You don't get it. You say, no. If Timba Jensen, you know, you know, because you are not used to it. You eat once in the day. Now you come into a family where they eat about 6 times a day. In the morning, there's tea break. Then you have the breakfast. In the afternoon, there's a tea break, and then you have the lunch. In the evening, there's an appetizer before you have the dinner. You eat once a day. So it will be strange. And I think, and I want to submit to you, that's one of the problems believers are facing today. Problem of identity. Even though we've been adopted, but we are still having the mentality of the other kingdom. Glory to God, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought to the kingdom of his dear light. So we're in the kingdom of light, but you know, sometimes you want to live the principle of the kingdom of darkness. And because we don't have that identity, so we struggle for identification. And now you have something. I'm not against people getting certificates. I'm getting more and more. But you get it for the right reason. If I got this certificate, because you think that will define you. No, that's not the reason. You've been defined the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Your destiny has been defined. Your purpose has been defined. Your person had been defined. Who you have had been defined. So you don't need to struggle to be something because you are somebody already. And that is where the challenge is, because we haven't come to live the fullness of the life of a child of God. When they brought them out of Egypt and they got into a problem, you know what the Israelites said. The ones that were crying for deliverance. The ones that were praying for deliverance. Just because they met some challenge, they say, after all, where we were coming from, we were still having food to eat. Where we were coming from, at least we had water to drink. It is better than this wilderness. They forgot it suddenly, what God has said about them. Just because of a little challenge. We all do that. Haven't you done that before? When we face some battles of life, we all forget who we are. And that's why for these 2 weeks, I want to really bring you home so that you can know who you are. Not only that, to live it. It's not enough for you to know. It is much more important for you to live it. To the glory of God, my wife heard that I was having a conversation. Of course, she didn't know who I was talking to. I was speaking to a big man in government almost for 1 hour. And he said, I need to talk to you regularly. He said, because we've seen your achievements. He said, for a long time, I didn't know that you're not a politician. I said, I'm not a politician, no. He said, during the campaign, he was looking for him. He said, if this man will join us in campaign, they understand that we know what we deliver. And you know that? I got to read me in campaign. Again, I'm a civil servant. He said, where did governor get these technocrats? You know, because they saw. But it is me that know that there's a force that is working out those success in me. And that's why I don't struggle. I don't struggle. I don't fight for position. I just do the best I can do. And each time I see God. When we started it in Shawn in Oyo State, I didn't follow any law and I did not obey any law. Because I know that following any law, I'm not going to succeed. But listen, if the things I did failed, I would not be in civil service today. I would have faced one panel, the other I would have been dismissed. Because I did not follow general order, I was not following this the way they do in civil service. You know, civil service help you to... In the place where they record, you have to be careful. But let me put in a way that will be good for recording. You know, civil service, I'm directed to. They understand that. In other words, you don't have much of your brain to use. You are directed to. But if you really, really want to succeed, oh boy, sometimes you have to go beyond I'm directed to. When you have a knowledge of identity of whom you are, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that can stop you in the world. There's nothing. When you have, don't ever forget that. When you have an understanding of your true identity, you can stand before any man in this world. Any man, I mean. The Bible says, those that know their God, they shall be strong. Not only that, they will stand before kings and not mere men. The knowledge of God. John 10:10. Then I will start. The Bible says, one verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life abundantly. Now, in the original translation, there's no more abundantly. Actually, that they might have it abundantly. Because if you read more, it looks like you are comparing that life. It's the same life. They come to have life, and they might have that life abundantly. That life is what I want us to get into for the next 2 weeks, because you need to know it. The Bible says, he has come to give life, and to give it surplusly. He wants to give you that life more than you can exhaust. You know, sometimes when you have something and you don't have enough of it, you know, you'll be using it small, small, because you don't want it to finish. But that's not God. He said, I've come to give you that life and give you in excess. He gives you much more that you need. He gives you much more that you can use. He gives you so much that you can even give other people to use. That life the Bible is talking is God kind of life. They call it Zoe. So he said, I am come that they might have God kind of life and that they might have it abundantly. I've come so that I can put in them God kind of life, not their own kind of life. Not the kind of life that they wish, but God kind of life is what I brought to them. And I want them to have the God kind of life in surplus. Let me tell you something about God kind of life. The first thing about God kind of life is that that life is an everlasting life. And that's why I want to really follow me these 2 weeks, because if you got it, it will deliver you. It's an everlasting life. John 3:16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life there is the life in John 10:10, is the same life Zoe. So, you can say that they might have everlasting life and they might have it abundantly. So, that is the first thing about God kind of life. It is an everlasting life. It is not a kind of life that is limited. It is not a kind of life that can be exhausted. It is everlasting. Number two, God kind of life is an eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God kind of life is not only an everlasting life, it is an eternal life. Number three, that God kind of life is the nature of God. John 5:26, for as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. So in other words, the God kind of life, Zoe, it is the nature of God himself. So that life is an everlasting life. That life is an eternal life. That life itself is God's nature. And lastly, that life is a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, this is the scripture that a prisoner had a revelation of. And he was released from prison. When he committed the crime, he killed a policeman. And you killed a policeman, you know that's they will use rope to measure your imprisonment. You know, and he was given several years. And he was ministered to in prison. And he got this scripture. And he started saying to all the other prisoners, he said, do you know that I'm a new creature? He talked to some other prisoner. Do you know I'm a new creature? He said, the person that killed the policeman had died. And so, I'm not supposed to be in prison because I'm a new creature. And he kept on telling them that. You know that for the first time in recent history, he was given a parole, someone that killed a policeman. Not in Nigeria. In Nigeria, you know, I'm talking in some serious crime. He was given a parole because he had the revelation that the prisoner had died. This is a new person. I'm talking to you about God kind of life. God kind of life is a new being when you have it. Now, this is life that was given to you when you gave your life to Jesus. You know, a lot of us believers don't actually understand what salvation is. As I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again. So when you're born again, what actually happened? The problem at the beginning, or the intention at the beginning, was men were created to be eternal. That was the purpose of God. God created men so that he can relate with us eternally. He created men so that it's going to be an everlasting living, everlasting life. He never created men to die. He never created men to end in existence. You see, but when sin came in, there was death. When sin came in, everlasting was cut short. When sin came in poverty, came in sickness and disease. I'll talk some more about that next week. And so God, in trying to rediscover the original plan, how to do that through Jesus, he reorganized his plan as though he never knew that we are going to fail him. Praise God. So he said, I want these people to come back to the original stature. And that is why Jesus died. So why did he die? Jesus died so that we can have God kind of life. That's why Jesus died. Jesus died so that we can have God's kind of life. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the real deal in Christianity. You know, I said to us severally, I said, in Christendom or in the world generally, you can fake anything. Or you can get any blessing from anywhere. I hope I'm not going to shock you too much to say that you don't need Jesus to have a child. I hope you know that you don't need to come to church. If somebody says only Jesus can give you a child, it's a lie. You don't need to come to church to be rich. Coming to church to be rich is slow. You want to be rich very quick, go and carry cocaine. When they can't catch you, they will kill you, shall. If you want to be rich, you can do Yahoo Plus. You want to be famous, begin to play, what do we play on Sunday? Golf. You have connection, you meet people, you become famous. A lot of people have become ministers and commissioners and big people today because they met somebody and somebody in various clubs. It will be a lie if somebody preaches that the only way you can become famous is through church. No. But you know, the only thing that you can never get from any other source, you can never get from a very rich man, you can never get from a very famous man, you can never get from any connection. The only thing that can never be faked is salvation. That's the only thing that makes Jesus and that makes church to be different from any organization. Salvation will only come through Jesus Christ. I have no regret of saying that. I don't care whether some people say they are servants or whether they are slaves. Salvation, sonship, we come alone, capital O-N-L-Y, from Jesus Christ. Salvation is not that you are saved alone, you are saved indeed. But the critical thing, the core of salvation, is eternal life, the new life. That's what I'm discussing this morning. Every believer must know that I'm not just saved, but I have Zoe, God kind of life. Actually, that's what makes you a Christian. A lot of us don't know that. It's so simple, but it's deep. You need to get this. You must know that salvation means I have the nature of God. Salvation means I have eternal life. Salvation means I have everlasting life. Salvation means I have a new life. If you're a believer, you're not going to die. I hope you know that. If you knew that, say amen. You people are looking at me and say, I'm teaching something that is... I'm teaching the scripture, you need to know it. And that's because this is not taught on a daily basis. And that's why I'm teaching it. This is a new church. So I want you to grow on the right foundation. If you have Jesus, you are not going to die. If you have Jesus, you only transit. Death will only be a door to another life. That's what I'm saying. Death will only be a door to another life. You live because that is the life that you have the day you answer yes to Jesus. Everlasting life. Eternal life. New life. Praise God. The nature of God. Those are the things you carry. Because you don't know this fact, that's when we struggle for identification. You are asking favor from a dead being. Or you don't know, if people don't have Jesus, they are dead, even though they are walking. Some of us, we run after dead people. Eternal soul, you know, begging dead people. Me that I know purpose, I know my life, you are running after people that even don't know where they're going. Somebody say, Yakana Budu, why Yakana Sahim, Idina Siratari Mustakima, you know, Oluani Afinimana, you if you want more. Any can you? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the lie. Get any. One says, Oluafinimana, Iwani Afinimana. Any can why they only a minion, and you see again. What stupidity? What ignorance? We have a lot of ignoramuses, you know, walking on the surface of the earth, even though they carry certificates, yet they are ignorant. They speak correct English, yet they are ignorant. I am a superhuman, a supernatural being. A supernatural being. Eternal life lives in me. Everlasting life lives in me. I am a new creature. And I carry the nature, the exact nature, semblance of God. That's where I am. So why should I be struggling for identity any longer? I said, they have an identity clash. I don't have one. I know who I am. I know whose I am. You need to get that. That is your life. And so, I want to round up by giving us four significant facts about Zoe. You see, the life that you carry. When you wake up in the morning, say to yourself, I have everlasting life. When you wake up in the morning, say to yourself, I have the nature of God in me. When you wake up in the morning, say to yourself, I have a new creature. And when you wake up in the morning, say, I have eternal life. That is you. Praise God. That is you. You see, when you have the revelation of what I'm saying, I will talk to you about the benefit next week. Don't let me go ahead. The first significant things about the abundant life. Number one, for you to have abundant life, that was why Jesus went to the cross. So that you can have God's kind of life. You were dead before in your sin, your trespasses. You were nobody. You were cut away from God. You could not reach God. God could not reach you. Satan had caught a gulf, created a distance. You don't know what God is doing. God does not know. They understand about your life because you were caught. But God all the time wanted us to come back. There was death in us. There was death. There was separation. And Jesus went to the cross so that the life of God can come back. So the essence of Jesus' death is so that we can have this Zoe. For if by one man's offense, Romans 5:17, death reigned by one man. One man just offended. Did you see that? Don't you get it? One man's offense and death was distributed to everybody. And that's why I said to people, if you are seated here this morning, you know, and then you have a big head, you are here to give your life to Christ. And so I don't see the reason to give my life to Christ. I don't womanize, I don't smoke, I don't drink. You know, I come to church, I'm a nice person, you know. No, that's not it. You are a sinner because by one man, death was passed to everybody. That was the reason I wasn't born again for many years. I was a CAC boy, very good in BK. I will come first, second in church when we did zona quiz. I was playing drums. I was in choir for 7 years. I wasn't drinking. I never smoked. I never womanized. A nice boy, very obedient. I get to my father's house 7:30. You know, that time I was not wearing baggy. In my time, it was time of baggy wearing. I was not doing all those things. So when they say, yeah, you know, and the people preaching salvation to us that time, they did not understand eternal life. They preach to us that if you are smoking, you are going to hell. Cocaine, me will smoke, so I'm not going to hell. They say if you are womanizing, you are going to hell. I was not womanizing, so I was not going to hell. If you are not coming to church, you don't go to church on Sunday, you are going to hell. I was going to church on Sunday. So I didn't understand it. So I was righteous in my own eyes, because the people preaching to were making me look like righteous being. Until I met somebody, 19th of April, 1987, 7 p.m. I was just walking. You know, I met salvation in Easter camp. I was that good. Motuman lo Easter camp. Easter camp. I was there on the Sunday. Baba Biara, I think, was going to come. And when we went there, need the agbara ejade, you know, because I thought I was good, so I thought the only thing that was missing in my life was agbara. So I went out. So I was going home disappointed. But I think I was like that Cornelius. God saw that my sacrifice has come as a memorial. God sent this person. He came to that camp from Lagos. That was the last time I saw him. He was sitting on a fence. I was going with about 4 friends, and he just called us. I think I was the only one that responded. All the other ones just walked away. I met this man sitting on the fence, and he asked me, am I born again? And he started talking in line with eternal life. That was the first time somebody was talking to me about salvation, not in the light of you smoke. Not in the light of you don't smoke. Not in the light of you go to club. Not in the light of you don't go to club. It was the person that was making me to see that by one man, we are all sinners. Not because you practice sin. We are all sinners because of one man. We die today because of one man. It is a mystery, but it's very true. For by one man's offense, death reigned. Me o glory, except the Bible says it. By one man. You know, it looks again like when a man has done his will and he died. And you open the will and they read the will. They said, your father has said, the whole estate belongs to you. If you open the will too, and the man says that, Mojagbe say 10 billion. In a bank, and your man, son, It's the same way. The Bible says, by one man, one man's offense, I did not commit it. I was not there. Even if I was there, probably I would have just spoken to my mom, Eve. I said, Mom, Dad said we should not go there. Don't go there. Even when the visitor, the devil came, who knows? I could have convinced our great mom and said, Mom, Dad has said we must not go there. Who knows? Probably that offense might not have happened. But they were just two. And by that, death reigned. Glory to God, much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man. Did you get that? Death came by one man. Reign will come by one man. You need to get this. When the Bible says we are going to reign in life by one man, it's not talking about the fact that you have the wherewithal. It's not talking about the fact that you have certificates. Hey, get any. It's not talking about the fact that you have a company. It's irrespective of you. You don't get it. If you got it, come and shout hallelujah. It's irrespective of you. It's not about what you've achieved. He said, by one man. He said, if you receive that one man, you are going to reign in life. I don't know how. I don't know when. But the Bible says, by that one man, you are going to reign. If you don't get it, let me say to you, I have seated before me this morning kings, princes, leaders of nations, leaders of various segments of the world, not even Nigeria alone, political leaders, ministers, governors, parastatals, because the Bible says, by that one man, you are going to reign in life. It is abnormal when you have unbelievers reign. Afojuni, o leader, watoju wa mejeji tola. Koye yini, by one man, the fact that I have Jesus in my life, he said, I'm going to reign. That is what has brought me to be a leader where I am today, by one man. That is what is going to make you to excel where you are today, by one man. That is what to make our students to excel by one, except you don't have Jesus. Or you have Jesus, you don't have this understanding I'm sharing with you this morning. If you had this understanding, nothing in life will stop you. As a matter of fact, you not struggle to do jackpot. I was listening to Femi Emmanuel yesterday. I was just playing with my phone and I saw it. And it was instructed what he was saying. He said, if you are jackpot because you want to make money, you are jackpot because you want to get a job, you are jackpot because you want to do good work. He said, I'm sorry for you. Into Solomon, so I'm a banjao. He said, and I believe it. He said, I'm sorry for you. You made a big mistake. He said, but you want to jackpot to go and read, get more knowledge. You want to jackpot for conference. And then you come back and then you use it to build a nation. He said, that is it. I get what he's saying. You know what he's saying? I can put it in the context of what I'm sharing with you. Listen, if you know that by one man you are going to reign in this life, the place does not matter any longer. The land does not matter any longer. The position does not matter any longer. What is matter is when you appear like this, announce to them and say, the king has come. Joseph, when he had the dream, the first people he told his dream are his brothers. He said, brothers, look at me very well. God has said to me, and I believe it, that I'm going to be a king. And God has said to me, even though he shouldn't have said that, and God has said to me that all you like this, you are going to bow to. He told you no son now. No, but we can't have so. But he was sure. Jesus came so that we can have abundant life. Abundant life is a life of reigning. It's not a life of slavery. If you are in slavery now, don't worry. Things will turn. Every scripture for you. The Bible says, I will overturn. And overturn. And overturn. Until whose right cometh. Some of you today, your blessings, your properties, your belongings, your inheritance are in the hands of the blind people. And the hands of people that don't have eternal life. And in the hands of people oppressing you. Listen, by this time tomorrow, God will overturn. Because you have the spirit of the king inside of you. Because you have the spirit of God on the inside of you. Because you have an abundant life on the inside of you. By this time tomorrow, I said to your destiny, you will occupy your right place. In the name of Jesus. Worry no more. I know some of us are struggling today. You're struggling in business. You're struggling in your family. You're struggling in your academics. Listen, begin to appreciate the abundant life. When you have this understanding, shakings will begin in your life. Number two, that I want you to know about abundant life. All that the devil had done in your life, stolen, killed, destroyed, all of them, they were restored in one thing. They were all restored in the abundant life. Everything you've lost. And that is what's wrong when a believer, you know, you're praying, God, you know, I don't know whether you've been in that church before. And the egg that right, but Jesus, let me get Babao, let me ta, as he not can lay, oh, no, go away, go away, go away, go away, go away, go away. After that, they now look for fancy, go ye. Everything that was stolen and taken away have been restored because the Bible says the thief come not but to kill, to steal, to destroy. When he came, he did not say that. I'm going to give to you what is stolen. I'm going to raise to life what is killed. And I'm going to rebuild what is stolen. So, no. He said, I have come to give you God's kind of life. In God's kind of life is the restoration of everything you lost. And I want you to get that about eternal life. God's kind of life has restored. Little wonder, the Bible says, all that pertains to life and godliness. All. Or do you understand English more than English? All. I said, Pastor, but my own is big. I don't know your whole. I know what the Bible says. All. I said, but Pastor, I didn't be Timotimbo. Everybody be Timotimbo. Everybody, I got out here. No, I don't care. All. Bible says all that pertains to life and godliness has been given. Has been given. When you are given a right, and when you are given, you know, a will, and you never open the will. In the will, it says there's $10 billion in a bank. But you refuse to open it. You know why you refuse to open it? Because the cover of the will is so bad, tattered. It's been hidden for years. So when they brought it, omitting ring, he can't get it. It's here. So what can come out of it? Meanwhile, microfinance is running after you. Microfinance is running after you. You owe microfinance 1 million naira. If you dare open the will, you discover that the microfinance owner, the management of microfinance, all their capital are shown later, but you never open the will. You never open the book. You are upset because the book is tattered and bad. Is it the shape of the book you are interested in or the content of the book? At salvation, when you receive eternal life, everything has been restored. So when you see yourself having the God kind of life, see somebody whose life, destiny, have been restored. Number three, because of my time. I said I'm going to talk very briefly. The life is an abundant life. That's what the Bible calls it. Zoe, God kind of life is a surplus life. It's a life that you cannot exhaust. It's a life that you cannot finish. It's a life that you will enjoy and you will give to your children. And the Bible says that it will leave inheritance even for his children's children. Where is it coming from? Not of what you get. It's talking about abundant life. God kind of life is a surplus life. Lastly, and I will say to be continued next week. I hope you are not going to fight me with this. God kind of life make us equal with God. You know why? Because God kind of life is the nature of God. So, as a child of God, you have the nature of God. John 1:16, and of his fullness have we all received. Oh, glory to Jesus. Out of his fullness, you receive, I receive, she received, she received, he received. The Bible says grace for grace. When you receive Jesus, you receive the nature of God. I will continue next week. Make sure you are in church. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet and give glory to Jesus? Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I like that. Choir, let's sing that song. To just for God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just play that keyboard solemnly, the same song. I want you to just say to yourself, I have eternal life. I want you to say to yourself, I have a new life. I want you to say to yourself, I have everlasting life. I want you to say to yourself, I have the nature of God. I have been restored. My destiny has been restored. My originality has been restored because I have the life of God. Hallelujah. I want you to do something very briefly. Now, because you have the nature of God, one of the things that the nature of God does, I make us to see that next week, the nature of God speaks. He speaks life. You see, the nature of God does not speak death. The Bible says, when God made the whole world, he looked around. Everything was without form. But because, we receive of his fullness, glory to God, he started speaking. He started calling things they were not as though they were. He started speaking them into existence. I want you to look into an area of your life that needs life. I'm going to give you like 2 minutes. You don't need to repeat. Nature of God speaks. It said, let there be light, and there was light. It did not say, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light, and there was life. Because it was speaking from a nature. I want you to speak life into an area of your life. I want you to speak life into an area of your life. Just an area. After you've spoken life, just pray in the Holy Ghost. And say, this has now come to life. I'm speaking now for a new position. I didn't know this position. The devil has cheated me. I thought that I was nobody. I lost my identity. But from today, I've started seeing my identity. I've known that I have eternal life. Now I know I have everlasting life. Now I have the nature of God. I am a new creation. Now I speak life. Akata yalaba kashata laba. Ereba kata laba baya karaba bashanta laba. Erebo son tolo boka yata laba baba rakata. Enda kapara kata laba boria kashanta laba. Broshi ketele bobo boraba kata. Resepele ketendele baba baba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It shall be to you according to the will of God and not according to the will of man. It shall turn to you according to the will of God and not according to the will of man. And declare the kingdoms will come to your rising, they will bow before you in the name of Jesus. I pray from your story shall be a testimony that will bring world to the knowledge of God in the name of Jesus. You carry God, and so kingdoms and situation will bow before you in the name of Jesus. This week you will walk in power. You will walk in glory. You will walk like someone has eternal life. You will be in charge. You be in control, and you have testimony in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you have God that is working on the inside of you. He's working things out for your good. He's working things out for your purpose. He's working things out for your testimony. The Lord will cause you even to meet the right people. The Lord will cause you even to locate the right frontiers. The Lord will cause you even to walk in the right places. Hallelujah. You are not an ordinary man. You are a super ordinary being. You are a supernatural being. And so shall it be. Welcome your testimony. We give you praise, Father God. We give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 Come and put your hands together for the King.